even with today's good news, a lot of Americans remain anxious, and I understand that they're feeling. President Biden has claimed combating inflation is his top domestic priority, adding that the White House has been searching frantically for remedies. The US president claimed that he has taken several steps towards that goal, including by agreeing to tap into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to generate relief at the pump. President Biden is also considering lifting some tariffs on Chinese products to ease inflation. The ABC News Ipsos opinion poll also found that gun violence and inflation are another two important factors in the upcoming election. 72% of respondents said gun violence was extremely or very important, and 63% said the same thing about inflation. 70% of those surveyed said they think reforming gun laws should be a higher priority than protecting the right to own guns. Only 29% said protecting the right to own a firearm was more important. On Thursday, President Biden addressed the nation in the wake of a series of mass shootings across the United States and said if members of Congress fail to act, the American people will vote them out. He said, "If Congress fails, I believe this time a majority of the American people won't give up. I believe the majority of you will act to turn your outrage into making this issue central to your vote. Enough is enough."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Brother Sajjad Hida. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Sajjad Hida, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you very much for accepting my invitation to the program Viewpoints. And for today's discussion, we want to talk about the influence and the role of the late Imam Khomeini in reviving the authentic and pure messages of Islam in the modern world. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, how did you find the role of Imam Khomeini in, we can say, reviving the true messages of Islam, especially in the modern world?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, after the demise of the Prophet and the issues that we see in the history that happened with the Ahlul Bayt, And especially after the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, we can see that this was the first time when someone raised for Islam. And when he talks about Islam, he talks about the pure Muhammadan Islam. And he revived everything that was originally in the Quran. And the proof of this is that when we look at the reporter who asked Imam Khomeini when he was flying from France to Iran, when he was coming back.
Yes.
On the flight, he asked him, like, did you made any constitution for your new country? You're going to have the revolution or rule the country. And his answer was, our constitution has been revealed 1400 years ago, mm-hmm. and we had it. It means that he wanted to apply the Quranic teachings, which is common for all Muslims.
But it does not mean that he did not believe in the political constitution.
Yeah.
Because it's, after...
No. The main thing, okay. is, the main idea is politics is within Islam. Mm-hmm. We cannot separate politics from Islam.
Okay.
You know, the way we cannot separate ourselves from the soul. It is one. Islam, when we talk about the Islam, we talk about politics. It's purely one thing. It's not different.
Okay.
And that has been seen in the life of the Prophet. You know, when we talk about politics, what does politics mean? Politics means the policies that are made to run a society or government. And Islam tells us how to run our life, our society and governments.
That's right.
And this is what's said in the Quran. Therefore, we do not see politics something which is separate from the Islam. Because according to the definition which has been said for the politics, it is the same. And that is what Islam talks about. Therefore, he sees Islam in the same way. And in all his, we can say like speeches, there were many parts where he talks about the original Islam, going back to the Islam,
yes.
searching for Islam.
Okay.
And the struggle that he has done, the revolution that he has made, it was all in search of Islam and applying the true Muhammadan Islam.
That's right. So, but Brother Sajjad Haydar, what is original Islam that the late Imam Khomeini was after? Because it also attracted the minds of so many non-Shias all across the world too. I mean, the Muslims that were all across the world were looking for a new paradigm or the role model of Islam and reviving the true Islam. But what is this original Islam we are talking about?
Yeah, when we go to the Quranic studies and we want to understand the real theme of Quran, we have two main, foundations. One is related to the individual life and other is related to our social and collective life.
Yes.
And I think these are two foundations which not just our Holy Prophet, but all the prophets in the course of history were working on these two foundations. The first was what is called the ubudiyya, this submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being a servant to Him. But this is maybe it will create, I mean, I've used the word servant,
yes.
when maybe it will create a confusion for some audience. But that's why I would like to say on this topic that it's actually a submission to Allah. Allah, who is the beauty, who mm-hmm. is the origin of excellence, who is the origin of the perfection, who is the origin of all the goodness. So the being servant and being having submission to Allah, ubudiyya, is actually a very central word, central theme in the self-development, because it's actually about all the intellectual excellences, all the spiritual excellences, all the practical virtues
yes.
come around this main theme.
Okay.
And the second one, the foundation, which is the al-adala, is the justice.
Yes.
Quran says that in one of its verses, it says that all this system of prophecy, all the sending of prophets and books, for what purpose? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ So that the people will establish the justice in the society.
That's right.
And these two foundations are very much related to each other.
Okay.
If people do not become, live like abd, if they do not become the submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not possible to have justice in the human society.
That's right.
And these two aspects, one is your related to your soul, your character,
yes.
and second is related to the society.
Yes.
So you may see in the course of history that we had reformists.
Yes.
He has a good intellectual understanding of the ideas, but he's practically not an abd. Mm-hmm. He's not himself, he purified himself mm-hmm. in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always there was a defect in one part or another. We have a person who has purified himself, but he don't have that knowledge and capability of implementing the justice in the society. But when we come to Imam al-Khomeini, we said both of these elements, the foundations, are actually on their peak in the personality of Imam Khomeini.
That's right.
When we see his spiritual and his faith related, his personality,
yes.
he's a kind of a charm in him.
Yes.
He has really purified himself. And in the other aspect, you say in the justice related, he actually challenges the imperialistic system of his world,
yes.
And how he is trying to become a voice for oppressed people in the society.
That's right.
So both these are the core messages of Islam, the ubudiyya, the submission to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the justice.
That's right.
And we see that the whole life of Imam Khomeini is circling around these two foundational
That's right.
ideologies of Islam.
And the Westerners were really shocked at how an old man, an old Ayatollah, as they called him, for example, in the city of Najaf, or even in exile in France, in Turkey, here and there, he was sent into exile by Mohammad Reza Shah, the then king of Iran, how he could lead such a big community of the people inside Islamic, we can say inside Iran on that time. So I think some of these things very, very much is rooted in the miraculous aspects of the heavenly and divinely help and contribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this man. And that is because, as Brother Sajjad Haider said, he was an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his prayers are answered, and then automatically the system is going to be divine. I mean, the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Sayyid Mohsen, there are two important intellectual blocks on that time. From one time, we have this liberal capital side, especially from the side of the U.S. And from the other side, we have these Marxist communist ideas, especially from the side of Soviet Union. And all of a sudden, this new bloc based on the religion of Islam comes into the scene and attracts so many justice seekers, freedom seekers all across the world. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of the influence of Imam Khomeini.
Well, obviously, when we look at the Imam first, what you have said, that is true, because in the sayings of Imam, we find that in his speeches, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the divine. And if you want to become divine, you need to connect yourself mm-hmm. to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Since you're connected to him, you will become divine. Your actions will become divine.
That's
and
right.
obviously, the way Allah is all-powerful and he is unlimited, the same way your actions, your deeds, your living will become divine and unlimited. So that's for that. And that is truly because he was really submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has taught us how to be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is, there was a famous slogan at that time which was given by Imam Khomeini, that was La Sharqiyya wa la Gharbiyya bal Jumhuriyya Islamiyya.
Yes.
This is the Arabic terminology, because most of the listeners, if they're Muslim, they know Arabic.
Yes.
But in the Persian,
yeah.
In Persian they say Na Sharqi Na Gharbi Jumhuriyya Islami.
Yes.
That neither we follow the West nor
the
Eastern
one, okay.
But the Islamic Republic.
Yes.
And that is the only solution for everyone. And the East and West means that neither the liberalism, which is capitalism,
yes.
nor the socialism, which is
yes.
Marxism.
Yes.
And it is based on the pure Islamic teachings. And we want a republic, which is Islamic Republic. And this was the slogan which was given by Imam. And it became famous. The reason was, as brother has said, obviously the Islam is talking about justice. Islam talks about the rights. And not only the human, but Islam gave respect to the women, to the animals, to the society.
Okay.
And we can see that, there are many places where we have seen that, for example, if even, the revolution in the France, we
yes.
saw that when the army came into action against the public also raised guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they also killed some policemen or army
okay.
men. In the other parts of the world, we see the same thing. But when the revolution started in Iran, Imam said that you should not come in front of the army men. These soldiers are your brothers.
Yes.
They're from you. The only problem is they have to listen to the commands of their, you know, the supervisor. So they're under the command. But you can give flowers to them. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we have seen this, you know, there are many pictures and the movies are there. That many moms said, so the people, they took roses and then they used to put that in the guns of the,
yes,
you know, the policeman or the army man.
Okay.
So this was another way of looking at the society, at the revolution. And this is the Islamic way, basically, that when we say Islam is the religion of peace, it's really a religion of peace. Yes, there might be some people who are deviated. Some people are under the force. Some people are basically forced to do something.
Yes.
But this does not give you any kind of legitimacy to, mm-hmm, you know, kill them or fight against them.
Okay.
So you need to do protest, but this protest should be in a way that it is peaceful.
Okay.
And where there is no need of, you know, picking guns and all those, especially when you're doing this in your own country where you want a regime change.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regime change, obviously, you're talking to your brothers, you want your brothers to come back towards,
yes,
you who are against you. So this was one of the things. The other thing was that Imam Khomeini, in his speeches, and especially at the time of Imam Khomeini, we can see like Shahid Sadr as well,
yes,
and the other scholars as well, Shahid Mutahhari, Murtaza Mutahhari, and Allama Tabatabai. They philosophically, economically, you know, in the knowledge, like the books of the philosophy, through philosophy, intellectual, they have basically, you know, condemned and criticized both systems. And one thing which we can see, especially in the Arab countries, they were under the liberal system and then they accepted the socialism, the Marxism, and then later they come up like with the idea that these two will not work for us because these are not Islamic, you know, they do not have Islamic basis. But on the other hand, when Imam came, when the Shahid Murtaza Mutahhari and all,
yes,
those scholars,
Shahid
came,
Beheshti.
Shahid Beheshti, Allama, yes, Tabatabai, the book which he has written, like the methodology of the
realism, yes,
and the principles of philosophy.
That's right.
Obviously, there were like around 14 articles which,
yes,
were written, and it was explained by Shahid Murtaza Mutahhari later.
Yes.
So he added footnotes,
yes, yes,
to them.
And the preface.
So
right.
These things, obviously, these were against the socialism. And clearly it tells about the mentality, how they have, and the liberalism as well.
That's right.
So all these things were happening at that time, and, mm-hmm, this was the main reason.
So pure Islamic teachings, as you said, like freedom, like justice, we can say, can also be followed by the non-Muslims across the world. That's why maybe so many non-Muslims were attracted to the spiritual message of Imam Khomeini on that time, Brother Sajjadeh.
No doubt that the human excellences and perfection is not about just one denomination.
Mm-hmm.
In its soul, in its essence, Islam is calling us towards the nature. It is what the Quranic verses even tell us that it's the nature we should return towards.
Okay.
So the no doubt that the personality. Actually, I'll also give like to give it a historical context.
Very good.
That after the what is so called the Enlightenment,
yes,
what is especially what is called the radical Enlightenment,
yes,
where the hatred for religion and also the hatred for the system, the ethical system based on virtue. So what I told you, the two foundations of Islam, the West changed this standard.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the ubudiyyah, the being submission to Allah, they brought the pleasure,
mm-hmm,
in the individual aspect. And instead of justice, they brought the interest,
yes,
the capital.
Yes.
So it was intrinsically against what Islam says.
Yes.
So Imam Khomeini, when he came, he was a challenge for West. Why? Because he, like, with his own actions, with his speech, with his personality, I will say spiritual charm of his personality, he challenged these two aspects. That in the midst of the last,
yes,
century,
yes,
when the materialism was thinking that we just overcome the religion and that the chapter of religion,
okay,
in the human society has been closed,
mm-hmm,
we see the person with such a spiritual charm and, mm-hmm, such a call for justice and right. breaks the whole their plan of destroying religion in the human society. So he was a challenge for them.
That's right.
And no doubt that the justice and the virtue and these are the things, the freedom, these are things that are personally, they are intrinsically attracted for all humans.
That's
so
right.
no doubt that the message of Imam was the message for whole humanity.
That's all right. Thank you very much. As Brother Sajjad Haidar said, the message of the late Imam Khomeini was the message for the whole humanity. He addressed the whole humanity, regardless of the color, of the race, of the language, of the ethnicity, or even denominational religion, you know. And this is important about the character of the late Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul and may he rest in peace, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Sajjad Haidar, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Let us ponder on an interesting saying from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, so as not to miss opportunities in life. You must avail yourself of five things before five other things overtake you. Life before death, health before illness, leisure before occupation, youth before old age, and wealth before poverty.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Thank you. Social news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
People in Poland have rolled out flower carpets for the feast of Corpus Christi held in the central village of Spiszemierz. Families usually arrange colorful and symbolic carpets for the procession on the road section in front of their homes. They use flowers picked from the surrounding fields or their own gardens. They also use soil, sand and fresh cut grass. The procession begins from the church and roams the streets of the village. The flower carpets have been rolled out annually since the tradition started 200 years ago, except for once when a storm broke out.
This tradition is 200 years old, and according to what the village elders say, it has only happened once that there was no carpet of flowers for the procession, because a storm broke out and swept everything away in the afternoon.
Families begin collecting the flowers a few days before the feast and arrange it on the celebration day. Besides its religious aspect, the event is also meant to express appreciation for nature. The practice has been passed from generation to generation ever since it began. The tradition was registered at UNESCO's Cultural Heritage List last year.
Artists have turned a historic village in the Tunisian island of Djerba into a vibrant open-air art museum. The organizer of the project says he has always had a clear vision for the gallery.
The goal of this project is to create a new way of displaying urban art, to create a museum, a real museum, which labels for the works with a certain lighting, certain works and staging. Also to create a dynamic to give this museum to the residents so that they could appropriate it and it almost becomes their business.
The project is called Djerbehud and it's located in a town of Eriyadh. Since 2014, about 150 artists from 35 different nations have gathered there to produce eye-catching street art. Tourists say they enjoy visiting the gallery because they can see something new every time they come round. Residents of the town are also content with the vibrant looks of their streets, saying the artwork give a little movement to their everyday lives. Japanese engineers have invented a four-legged robot that can easily move across rough terrain while carrying heavy loads. Japan's Kawasaki Heavy Industries has developed a quadrupled robot, believing it can help with labor shortage in the country's aging society. Dubbed Bex after the wild goat species Ibex, the robot features large curved horns. It can walk over rough terrain or move faster on smoother surfaces using wheels tucked in its underbelly. Bex was designed to perform tasks and carry humans in agricultural settings, thereby answering a labor crunch in rural Japan.
Five young and rare Bonelli's eagles born on a breeding farm in France are taking a journey to Spain where they will be released into the wild. These eaglets were born in captivity, which is a rare feat for this endangered species. Three of the five are ready to be released and have been fitted with GPS microchips for tracking purposes. Their initial release date was delayed because of several weeks of bird flu, which made traveling impossible. The other two eagles are too young to be reintroduced and are still being hand-fed from behind the curtain. They will make the journey sometime in July. The breeders, however, are worried about how to sustain the program as their birds begin to age.
Aigle de Bonelli
The Bonelli's eagle is a species that is relatively scarce. In France, we must have about 40 couples, something like that, who produce about 20 chicks per year. Here, we have 5 chicks, but my birds are very old. Still, 5 chicks is not nothing for a species which relies on a small reproduction number.
Hacto also says his 5 pairs of eagles are aged between 18 and 30 years, and 3 of them are now too old to breed. He says the number of Bonelli's eagles had dropped dramatically since the 1980s, mainly to electrocution on high voltage lines. Due to the reintroduction program, the population of these eagles has nearly doubled over the past 2 decades. Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animal, or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
China launches 3 astronauts to its Tiangong space station as its construction enters a critical phase. The 3 blasted off from a launch center in northwestern China. They are the second group of astronauts to head to the space station since its construction began in April 2021. They will stay there for 6 months. The space station is planned as a 3-section structure. The core module was launched in April, and two more components will be sent into space in July and September. The new mission will oversee the integration of the three parts. The crew's commander has described the task as a pivotal battle in the construction of Tiangong, which is planned to be completed by the end of 2022.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to two more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found two additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around a dozen similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial-era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there are many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warn that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil.
Chinese scientists are establishing a meteorological monitoring station at an altitude of 8,800 meters on Mount Komolangma, the world's highest peak on the China-Nepal border. The 13 members of the research team started the trek towards an 8,300-meter base camp on Mount Komolangma from a 7,028-meter camp on Tuesday morning. They reached the camp in the afternoon and went on the last section of the arduous journey up on Wednesday morning. If the station is established successfully, it will replace the one at an altitude of 8,430 meters set up by the British and U.S. scientists on the mountains in 2019. It will be the world's highest of its kind, according to the Chinese Academy of Sciences.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to today's episode of the program. Today is a special. How to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ربي ذو الجلال والإكرام يا إلهي فاعف عني واهدني ولا تتركني.
Today Saturday is the 18th of Zilqada 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Khordad 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of June 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Before starting today's program, let's listen to the blessed recitation of Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 206, and then we'll continue our program. Please stay tuned.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين عند ربك لا يستكبرون عن عبادته ويسبحونه وله يسجدون.
Indeed, those who are near your Lord are not prevented by arrogance from his worship, and they exalt him, and to him they prostrate.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is probable that the phrase, those who are stationed near your Lord, encompasses both the angels and the pious servants of Allah who connect His essence and feel themselves at His presence. Be not proud of your worship, for Allah has some angels that are always in the state of worshipping.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي.
Why worship or ibadah? Worship or ibadah means the expression of abasement, the highest form of humility and homage before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As to its importance, it is enough to state that worship is the purpose behind the creation of all beings and the mission of the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says, I did not create the jinn and humans, expect that they may worship me. The mission of all prophets has been to invite the people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the objective behind the creation of the universe and the mission of the prophets has been the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, it is clear that Allah, the Exalted, is in no need of your worship. As the Holy Quran says, yet Allah is independent of you. The benefits of worship returns to the worshippers themselves, as simply as the pupil's decision to study their lessons is to their own advantage and has no gain for the teacher.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first place, it must be indicated that in the Islamic religion, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves being worshipped. That is, human beings are expected to worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contrary to some religions in which people worship the prophets or some of the ancient or imaginary heroes, in the Holy Quran, in the Islamic religion, and particularly as asserted in the Holy Quran, everybody is taught to worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this regard, the assertion of the Holy Quran is crystal clear. In that it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We haven't created the jinn and the human beings save for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, in the Holy Quran, it's asserted, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهُ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. In every community, we have singled out a prophet, a divine prophet, who recommends people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to avert from the taghuts, to avert from the tyrants. From this Quranic perspective and based on this Quranic verse, we understand that aversion from worshipping or obeying tyrants is a step toward moving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and toward worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Ways to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, pray. The success that we seek calls us five times a day. Prophet Muhammad stated, "The first thing which will be judged among a man's deeds on the day of resurrection is the prayer. If this is in good order, then he will succeed and prosper. But if it is defective, then he will fail and will be a loser." Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to pray so much at night that his feet became swollen. It was said to him, "Why do you regulate yourself with this when Allah has forgiven your past and future sins?" To that, he replied, "Shall I not be a grateful servant of Allah?"
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى رَبُّنَا رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
Servitude or ubudiyah, and not worship or ibadah. Outward worship and obedience are useless if they are devoid of total submission to and acceptance of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A servant is supposed to totally submit to Allah. He should put aside his personal likes and dislikes when obeying the commands of Allah and not care about the approval or disapproval of others. This absolute and unconditional submission is exactly what is called servitude or ubudiyah, which is an essential qualification for worship. Notwithstanding all those accounts of worship, since he lacked the spirit of servitude, Iblis or Satan disobeyed the command of Allah to bow down before Adam and was thus expelled from the realm of divine mercy. So, valuable worship is that which stems from servitude or ubudiyah, submission and willingness of man. Worship means total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a complete negation of the self or nafs.
Oh. God is the one who created us and we can only worship God. So why is it that sometimes we mention others? Why is it that we even mention the Prophet's name? Let me ask you this question. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, sacrificed for 23 years. Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave his blood for God. Jesus, peace be upon him, sacrificed so much. Now imagine God wants to compensate someone like our Prophet, someone like Imam Ali. How would God compensate them? Give them paradise? Possibly. Of course God will grant them paradise. But did they sacrifice just so they would go to paradise or no? No prophet of God obeyed God and was good with his people just so they can go to paradise. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam teaches us, if you worship God just to go to paradise, that's fine. God will accept that worship. God will not say, oh, you didn't worship me. No, you did worship God. But that's a low type of worship. Imam Ali says, this is like a merchant, like a businessman who bargains. You give and take. And then there are those who worship God because they fear hell. That's still fine. You're still worshiping God. But Imam Ali says, this is the worship of slaves. Why does a slave obey his master? So he wouldn't beat him, right? He's afraid. So some people worship God because they're afraid of hell. That's still fine, but this is like the worship of a slave. Imam Ali says there are some who worship God not because they want paradise, not because they fear hell, but because they find God worthy of being worshipped. That's how they thank God. It's a way of thanking their Creator for what He's given them. It's a genuine, sincere effort at worshiping God. So what someone like Jesus, peace be upon him, someone like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone like Imam Ali, Imam Hussein, how would you compensate him? Give him paradise? But that wasn't his goal from day one. He's higher than that. How are you going to honor him? How? You know how God compensated them? God said, these prophets and imams, they are the gate to me. You want to come to me, you go through them. I ask you, is there an honor greater than that? Then for the master of the universe, the king of the universe, the ultimate creator God, to say, you are the door to me. Someone wants to come to me, will have to go through you. This is the ultimate way in which God repays them. And that's truly fabulous. There is no honor greater than that.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Today's Special. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information on this program and to download for free our previous episodes of this program and other programs of IRIB English Radio, please visit our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.